Welcome, everybody, to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. This is week one of our Revelation study, and today we're diving into one of the most breathtaking passages in all of Scripture. It's a vision of exile. The Apostle John, exiled on the islands of Patmos, sees Jesus Christ revealed, not as a humble carpenter from Nazareth, but as a risen, glorified, and reigning King of glory.
Yeah, and this is the Jesus that we need to see in these days, the one who's alive, victorious, and coming again.
Yes, and before we start, Amy, would you mind opening us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our eyes as we study your word tonight. Let us see you not only as a suffering lamb, but as the triumphant lion. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, reveal your truth of this vision to us. Let it stir awe, repentance, and worship. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to first start with what image of Jesus do we get from reading the Gospels? In the Gospels, Jesus appears humble, compassionate, and servant-hearted. He heals the sick, touches the lepers, forgives sinners, and loves children. He's gentle, but carries divine authority, calming storms, and commanding demons. We see him as a sacrificial lamb who lays down his life for the world. Chapter 1, when Revelation opened, John, Jesus' beloved disciple, is exiled to Patmos, as we've already spoke to, for preaching. And the reason why he was exiled, because he was preaching the gospel. And I believe, as I read, he was actually preaching in Ephesus. So the Jesus John once knew was humble rabbi, who then comes to him and reveals himself as a radiant, overwhelming glory, not suffering servant, but a risen king. When you read the gospels, what image, is that the image that comes to mind?
For me, it's Jesus and his compassion. We see him, he's healing, he's forgiving, he's feeding the hungry, and he reaches the ones that everyone else has rejected, like the lepers. Mm-hmm. He's there for everybody.
Loves the children. He talks a lot about
the children. Yes.
And of course, these all come to mind, but I think like my favorite one is Jesus as the radical teacher.
Yeah.
Because he teaches with authority, not just information, and his parables flip expectations. His Sermon on the Mount redefines righteousness, and his call to love enemies and forgive endlessly stretches the soul. Like, he doesn't inform, he transforms.
Yeah.
And I feel like I just really, that resonates with me, because I like when I hear something and I'm like, oh, that's not the way I looked at it before.
Right.
You know, it
you
really
see a different
makes
side.
You think, it makes you connect with it. So I think like a lot of people probably would have rejected him, like that I know, because they would just be like, that's not what I know. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I would be like, well, wait a minute. Like, what is this guy saying? You know,
right.
I just really connect with that.
Yeah.
That's so good, Amy. Revelation basically pulls back the curtain to show us another side of Jesus, like you said.
Right.
Yeah.
He's divine in majesty. His eyes are like fire, feet are like bronze, voice like many waters. The lamb has become the lion, and the servant has become our sovereign Lord, right?
Yeah. Amen.
And so we're going to get into as we read through this scripture. So as we know, John walked closer with Jesus than almost anyone. He calls him his beloved, the one that the Bible references is the one that Jesus loved.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't love anybody else. He just loved John.
He wrote
we know
that
that's
about himself,
true.
By
exactly.
The way.
Well, listen, he knows what he knows, right?
Yeah.
John did see the transfiguration.
Yeah.
He leaned on Jesus at the Last Supper, and he stood at the cross. So by the time he writes Revelation, it's around, as we know, between, they said, 80 and 95. He's really an old man. He's banished to a barren rock called Patmos. And as we know yesterday, or in our Bible study, he's in
a
wall. He's in a cave.
Yeah, I thought he was in an actual prison. No,
he's in a cave. And he does all that for preaching the gospel.
Yep.
Yeah. And then fun fact really quick. John was, they did try to martyr him.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to boil him in oil, and he somehow survived it. And that was after he wrote Gospel of John and the three epistles. So God was kind of like, listen, I'm not done with you yet.
Yeah.
We got Revelation.
We got more things to do here, John.
But anyways, in that isolation where John was, everything familiar was gone, and God gives him the greatest revelation ever, the unveiled glory of Jesus.
How great is that?
Yeah, and right there, that just proves something, that sometimes in your exile, that becomes your encounter.
Yeah,
right?
It's true. It's
that
true.
Is how many times have you just been really going through it,
yep.
and you feel Jesus the most strongly you've ever felt him.
That's right.
Like,
And thank God for that, because he helps pull us out of that, right?
Yep. And I think at times like that, when people are going through something difficult and they're not Christians, and I'm just like,
how do they do it?
How do you do it without Jesus? Like, how? Without hope.
Yeah. That's true.
So I'm going to start by reading Revelation 1, 1 to 3, the nature of the revelation, and this is out of the NKJV. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all the things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near.
Yeah, and revelation means unveiling. It's not meant to hide the truth. It's meant to reveal Christ, who Jesus Christ is.
Yes, and then we talked about John MacArthur had said that some people don't think that Jesus is coming back, but his main basis for the fact that there is a second coming is that last we saw Jesus as a suffering servant.
That's right.
And that cannot be how we see him.
No.
You know, that cannot be how the world sees him. We need to see his glory and
the Almighty King of Kings, like you
said. Yes, the Almighty King of Kings that comes to conquer.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
that's Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my favorite, so verse 3 is just kind of a wild verse, because there's a blessing promised just for reading. It says, blessed is he who reads. So we're blessed for reading, for hearing, and obeying. So no other book in the Bible says that. So God wants his church to know this information.
That's very true.
And as we go farther in Revelation, like so many times Jesus says, like, basically, you know, whoever has ears to hear, like he's saying, read it
over and
follow
over.
It. Yep. Like,
and the thing about the Bible,
I
think about, like, before I decided to read Revelation, and I've read it a few times, and I've not really I understand it
right.
more today than ever. And it's because I keep going back to it, right? And so he'll constantly reveal to us. And that's not just in Revelation, that's the entire Bible.
It's the
living word, right? So I just think it's important. I know that before starting this series, and just like probably many of us, we've talked about this. Like, as a kid, I remember people talking about Revelation like it was, ooh, this big, scary Bible that, you know, you leave that till last. Don't even read that, read through it, and I don't see it that way anymore today.
It's funny you say, you know, that you read it, and then you keep getting, like, more of it.
Absolutely.
On the Glorify app this morning was a quote by Charles Spurgeon that says, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. Mm. The book widens and deepens with our years.
Oh, that's
facts.
Good.
Right.
That's
so good.
So true.
So true. That's so true.
Jotted that down in my Bible journal.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And speaking of journals, like we're gonna talk about journaling in this, and we're gonna ask questions, and we're gonna say, like, put it in your journal. We talked about this in a previous podcast. I'm finding, and I know you journal a lot. You've been doing it, Crystal. You've talked about you wanted to journal, and I'm finding that, although I have lots of journals started, none of them have I finished. So I just haven't. Like, I've started. I can go up and probably find 10. And, you know, one has 10 pages done.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to be more diligent, because I think that as the Lord reveals, you write it down. Like you said, I think in the past, you may or may not go back to that.
Right.
But when you do, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You see your growth. You see what the Lord has. Maybe he's revealing something new in that same scripture.
Yep. In my Bible journaling, so I have two Bible journals. And one is for kind of like something I learned that I didn't know, and whatever, it's in my devotionals, it's in whatever I learned that day.
Like a revelation.
Yes.
Speaking of.
Yeah. And then the other one is prayers.
Yeah.
Just prayers.
Okay.
And so I'll read something, I'll be like, oh, this is what I learned, and then write a prayer for it in the other one.
That's
and
good.
It's
just so that's good. A prayer journal. I like that.
Yeah. And I use a Bible journal for both, which obviously you don't have to do. You can just do a regular one. But it is kind of nice when you're like, okay, I am going through something, and I know that this verse says that God cares for me. So let me go over to that book, and then there's a prayer there already, you know, that I wrote at one point in my life. So it's just cool.
That's good.
Kind of like makes it topical for you.
I love that. I have to teach us how to. Maybe we need like a podcast on how to do that.
We should. It's so fun.
I would love that.
Layla and the girls do it, and they do artsier ones where there's like, and a lot of people do, where they draw or they paint in their Bibles.
Sure.
Now, I'm not super artsy, so mine is mostly washi tape and just what I learned or what I'm writing. But there's a lot of cool ways to do it up there.
And I think it helps you not only get closer to the Lord because you're reading the word over and over, but it also helps you remember his word, which
right.
you know, he says, put deep in your heart, because we don't know if we're going to be even allowed to have a Bible a year from now.
Right.
You know, we don't know what's coming.
And we're created. So, we created by a creator.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
So when we create, we feel kind of like, you feel closer to him. Mm-hmm. It feels good to create, you know?
I like
that. So even if you aren't good at it, like still do it, you know?
That's good.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to switch over to, I'm going to read Revelation 1, 4, and 5. And this is like the source of grace and peace. So it says, John, this is verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the first ruler over the kings of the earth. I love this verse. I mean, it talks a lot about
his
source, like he's the source.
Yeah. I like the firstborn from the dead. It feels a little bit like God is trolling Satan. Like, you came and you brought death.
Now look at this.
Here's the firstborn of the dead.
That's right. Thank you.
So here's life out of that. Right. You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. That's good. That's good.
And that's the Trinity right there, right? The Father, the Spirit, and the Son, all in one. And then you think of like how there are people who believe that there isn't a second coming, but how many times have you read in the Bible the one who is, who was,
and who is to come?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's pretty clear.
Right. Like, how can you not believe that?
But it's funny. Now, think about that, right? So someone's reading that, they're not, maybe they have the veil over their eyes, right?
That
we talk about.
Yeah.
God does put, you know, scales over people's eyes when they're just kind of rebuking him, if you will.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you're not ready for this, right?
Right.
Like, we read that and it's like so common sense.
Right.
It clearly says it, so why aren't you believing it?
You know? Right. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus isn't just our Savior. He's sovereign.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Every ruler, every system, every power bows to him, whether they admit it or not.
That's right. Yes. Every knee will bow.
I know. Right. And I just like think of that. And I have tried to make a t-shirt design for Every Knee Will Bow. And I do have one, but I don't love it. But it's just such an impactful verse that I feel like I can't even do it justice. So I've kind of given up.
Well, see, so Lord help reveal something to her.
Yes, something that can really give this verse.
Yeah, some justice and what it really truly means. Deep. It's deep.
I mean, you can always do one where Satan is bound to the cross.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how much?
Because that's every knee.
Yeah.
He'll be thrown into the pits.
How much can you get to that, right?
Yeah.
Every knee will bow.
He'll kneel.
Even Satan will.
Right. Mm-hmm. He'll kneel and then you throw him into the pit.
Exactly. Okay. So I'm actually going to finish reading 5-7. So it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen,
Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all of the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen.
Amen. It's good.
So to him who loved us, washed us in his own blood, he didn't just save us from something.
Right.
He saved us for something.
Yes.
That's good.
So we are a kingdom of priests, mm-hmm. and we get to represent him to the world and carry his presence. And I think that's kind of like our purpose in life, is to show Jesus through our life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's good. And don't miss what verse 7 says. It says, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him. That's not a secret rapture. That's public, global, and undeniable glory. And I love, actually, all through 5-7, John basically is prophesying Jesus' return in those verses.
Right. Here.
And that's exactly what it's, you know, what it's alluding to there, right?
Yes.
So let's continue on. Verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. He's before it all, he's after it all, and he's right now holding it all together.
I like it because it's like a statement of victory.
Yeah.
Right? Satan is trying to just destroy this world that he's created and our souls. And Jesus is like, hey, remember, like, I was here in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and I will be here in the end.
Yeah, don't forget it.
Don't
right?
forget it.
Right?
And you
That's
will
good.
Not. Like,
it's authority.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. He's doing it in authority.
And this means that nothing in our lives like will catch him off guard. He's already at the end working backwards for our good.
Right. And if that doesn't calm your anxiety, then I don't know what will.
Right.
Right. And exactly. And that, so it's funny, you know, it also is telling us that Jesus is eternal, existing before creation.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he's it. Like, and he's reigning well into history and beyond what we can ever imagine. He's sovereign over time, creation, and destiny. Nothing begins or ends apart from him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
That's good.
That is beautiful. All right. So Revelation 1:9-11 is the command to write. And it's called in the NKJV, the vision of the Son of Man.
Yes.
I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. So he's in prison, yet he says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think Crystal brought up that to think that you're in that place, this like awful place. Right. Somebody tried to boil you alive.
Right.
You survived it. Now you're in a cave.
Alone.
Right. Alone on an island.
Seemingly alone, but obviously with Jesus, right?
And yet you're worshiping so hard that you enter the spirit realm and you receive this revelation.
And I think that's what wrecks me. The circumstances doesn't have to dictate your worship.
Right.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And when John worships, I mean, heaven speaks, a voice like a trumpet, that's God saying, I still have something to show you.
Yes.
So listen
up. Awesome is that.
Right.
Yeah, listen up.
So
and
listen
I was
up.
Saying the other day, I was reading in Leviticus, the Feast of Trumpets was so that the people would get out of their spiritual complacency.
Right.
And, you know, remember the God they serve and who he is and what he has done for them.
Yeah.
And so then it's like a voice like a trumpet, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's not coming in quietly like a lamb.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
It's a roaring lion. Yep.
All right, so let's continue on, girls. We're going to read Revelation 1, verse 12 through 16. And just so you all know, we are all reading out of the NKJV just to keep it clean and clear. Because every version has a little bit different, so we want to make sure it's that we're able to follow. So verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lamps, and in the midst of the seven lamps, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. Now, so this is interesting because like it really describes the Lord in all his glory, certainly not like Jesus as we know, like the Lamb. This is definitely the King of Kings, the Mighty One, the Almighty.
Yes.
He is the high priest and the king. That's what the robe and the golden sash tells us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The hair white as wool tells us purity, wisdom, and eternity. And then when he talks about eyes of fire, he sees everything, motives, the hearts. Feet like brass is strength and righteousness, righteous judgment. Voice like many waters, and I think before it even talks about like a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That tells us power and commands attention. And then sword from his mouth, this is his word. Truth that cuts lies.
I love
and,
that.
You know, of all the false stuff that we're hearing today. And then face like the sun, the radiance of God himself. How powerful.
That's and awesome. Two, okay, so back up a little bit. So we know that the seven golden lampstands represent the churches,
mm-hmm.
and it's seven, which means complete
mm-hmm.
or wholeness. So it actually means like the entire church. We'll see in the churches different characteristics of all the different kind of churches that are still going on today.
Yep.
And God or Jesus is standing amidst them.
Yes.
Yep.
And so he is with us, even when we're failing, yes. which we see a lot of churches, some of them are failing spectacularly.
Yes.
But yep. Jesus is there among us, which might be scary for some of the ones that are really failing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but that just shows us, right? Like, even when the church is a mess, when we're a mess
yeah.
in our own lives, you know, Jesus, he hasn't walked away from us. He is still there with us in the midst of it all.
Right.
Like, how
Thank
amazing
God.
Is
Thank
that?
Thank the Lord, yeah. Yeah. Because without him, we're in deep trouble.
That's
so
true.
Yes.
We're glad that he's with us.
That's so true. Okay, so I'm going to move on to Revelation 17, 18. So this basically talks about the comfort of Christ. So it reads, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Mm. When he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.'"
Woo!
Like, come on.
Can you imagine that? The same hand that holds the galaxies together and touches John and says, "Don't be afraid."
Yeah, don't right. be afraid. Mm. I mean, that's the gospel in one sentence. Majesty meets mercy.
Ooh, that's powerful. That's I like that.
That's good.
And the reason we don't have to fear, because death isn't in charge anymore.
That's right.
Jesus holds the keys.
That's right.
That is so Amen. Good.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to Revelation 1, 19 to 20, which is the mystery explained. "Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand are the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches."
Mm-hmm.
So I like how it says, "I write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and things which will take place after this." Because we right. talked about, we're in the church age now.
That's right.
Right.
right? So
right.
now, at this point in history, we're still in the church age, but the next is the rest
what's
of Revelation.
To come. Yeah, right? what's to come.
The things that will mm-hmm. take place after
yeah.
this.
Right. It's the vision now and the future.
Yeah.
You know, and
yep.
he
the vision, the church, and the future.
Yep. And he explains the symbols, which is awesome. So we've talked about before, the stars. The seven stars are the messengers, and the seven lampstands, they are the churches.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
he explains it.
So good. And he's literally saying, "I am walking among my people. I see you. I know you." And I think it is powerful, too, to say the same Jesus who died for John now reigns eternally and holds authority even over death.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, there's a part in, I want to say it's next week. Mm-hmm. Where Jesus calls it this, he tells them that they're safe from the second death.
Yeah.
Because we yeah. will only die, we'll physically die once, yeah. but we will not die the spiritual death like people yeah. who are unbelievers
right.
will,
right.
safe
yeah.
from the second death.
Yep. So in this next part of the podcast, girls, we're gonna start like reviewing the story. So why did God give this revelation to John?
I say it's to unveil Jesus Christ and prepare his servants for, what's coming.
And comfort, too.
Yeah.
It's not the end. God will be, we see a lot of evil in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be the last word. God will have the last word.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think has God done for us, right? He's loved us, washed us, and made us kings and priests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, he's freed us from sin by the blood. He's made us kingdom of a priest. Who serve and worship him. Our salvation and calling are already secured in knowing him. So how did Jesus announce himself, as we know, with authority, a voice like a trumpet, and then he also commanded John.
That's true, he did command
he
John.
He commanded John, write what you see and make sure the churches get it,
yep.
right?
That's true. And why shouldn't believers fear? Because the one who holds all power already, he conquered death. So what else is there to be afraid of?
Amen.
Yeah. And his coming is not to condemn believers, but to fulfill what he's already promised
That's
already,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, how should this vision change our view of Jesus, and what comfort comes from knowing you will share in Christ's glory?
Well, it kind of snaps us out of our casual Christianity.
Yeah.
He's not just my buddy. He's my king. He is holy, and he's worthy of awe, and he is the king of all kings.
I love, that's my favorite name for Jesus.
Yeah.
The King of Kings.
Yep.
And in Revelation 22, I think it's verse 6, is one of my favorite verses because it's like who God is and what's going to happen all summed up. It says, and they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them because he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
So good.
Wait a sec, goosebumps.
So good.
But it's also like a comfort, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He reigns forever. Our hope is secure. Suffering is temporary. Glory is eternal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it reminds me that Jesus is not like that meek and just that meek and mild. I mean, he is meek and mild, right? He is the Lamb.
Right.
But he's not just meek and mild. He is the majestic King and righteous Judge. He's holy. And we talked about that several podcasts where people don't hold him in reverence, like when they call him, you know, it's important for us to say, oh, he's Abba Father. Of course he's that. You know, he's, you know, he's Jireh. He's all these things, but he's all these things and holy.
Right.
He's powerful and worthy of awe. So we should always hold him in like high reverence, not just like a casual, like you said, buddy. Like, he's, you know, he is more than that.
Right.
And he is really deserves our full honor and surrender.
Right. I feel like outside of God, we don't really have a reference for holy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So when you go and look it up in the dictionary, it says, you know, obviously he has absolute purity morally, but you know, one of the first ones is set apart.
Right.
And I just like that because it's literally like, just set that to the side because you will never really
understand
this.
It here. Right. Yeah,
there's
you're
no
right.
words for his holiness.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right. I love that.
And I think, Amy, you had mentioned also giving us comfort knowing that he reigns in forever. It also gives us comfort knowing we can face any trial, as difficult as it may be, any persecution or uncertainty without fear because we know who holds the future.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, so it's good.
So
the last thing I want to read here, so we're gonna, like reflecting on like the meaning and like journaling. We talked about that a little bit. So John's encounter reminds us that Jesus, who walked Galilee, is now enthroned in glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he still says, do not be afraid. His eyes see us, his hands steady us, his voice still calls his church to faithfulness. The revelation isn't meant to terrify believers, but to fortify them with hope, courage, and awe. So I have quite a question, and this is also for our those listening, and this is a good journaling response, you know, but I'm gonna ask the girls to share. How should Jesus's assurance about the future impact the way you live in the present?
So if he holds the future, I can stop living scared and I can live boldly and love more deeply. And, you know, good journal reflection would be, what does that look like in your life serving boldly and loving deeply?
Right. And it's just the King is coming, right? So we have to live like it. We have to serve those who need it. We have to show God's love through forgiveness, through works.
Mm-hmm.
We have to just show Jesus's love, forgiveness, and his mercy.
Yeah,
live like Jesus.
Through our walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know I said it before, but one of the things I have to learn is, you know, to being a Christian, it's not how much can we show that we love Jesus, it's how much can we show that we love Judas.
Right.
And that is
the epitome
of basically Christianity. It's loving, it's not loving Jesus, it is loving Jesus, but it's also loving Judas as well.
Yeah,
and that's true.
Which is,
and we have to, Jesus did.
Yeah.
To the end, Jesus still loved Judas. We have to learn to love Judas like Jesus
like
did.
Jesus
right.
did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think his victory frees us on focusing on what really truly does matter.
Right.
You know, sometimes in this world we focus on stuff that is really irrelevant.
Right.
It really
is.
You know.
We should be storing up our treasures in heaven.
Absolutely. Loving God, serving his people, like you said, standing firm in truth, no matter the cost.
Right.
So this is a good one, girls, this week. I mean, even though Revelation 1 was just kind of like getting us started, and the next week when we talk about the churches, that's going to get really, really deep, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
So let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself in majesty. Thank you that you are alive forevermore, and you hold the keys to death and hell.
Mm-hmm.
Give us courage to live faithfully today and always, and hope to face tomorrow without fear. Fill your church with awe and expectation for your return. In your precious name we pray, amen.
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 All right, so we thank you for joining us for Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls.
If this teaching spoke to you, please share it with someone who needs encouragement today.
And make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and visit btcwministry.com to connect with us and our Bible studies.
And just a reminder, we are not biblical scholars. We are just ladies who love the Lord and love to share His word, and we love learning together. Everything we share is based on careful study and prayer. But as always, we encourage you to open your Bible for yourself, pray, and let the Holy Spirit confirm the truth in your heart.
Yes.
Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus.
This is Unfiltered Faith, Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, and we'll see you next Thursday. God bless.